Welcome back to Zopli's second podcast. Today we are reviewing Giro Italia Stage 2, where again Tadej Pogačar won for the first time in his career in Giro Italia on a climbing stage, even with a crash at the start of the climb. But yeah, Nagyka watched even this climb and we can discuss it. What the hell happened on Santuario or the Europa?
Yeah, I mean, first of all, there was like not a strong break, so it was always going to be a day for the GC guys. I think Ineos even helped UAE control the stage, which was kind of interesting. I think they said it was like to honor the jersey of Narváez. Complete bullshit, of course, but you know, that's what happened. The break wasn't strong. The break was, you know, easily controlled. And then I think it was with 11.2 kilometers to go, Pogačar had a mechanical on the front wheel. And he tried to like take a turn with it and he just crashed completely. It wasn't a hard crash. It was like really slow. And I think he also realized that he was going to crash. And like, it wasn't a hard crash. He didn't like, he didn't even have any road rash or anything.
Yeah, from experience, the slow crash actually is painful because you have no inertia and you can actually also break something. And with a faster crash, you get more road rash usually. Yeah.
Yeah. I know, like, I mean, I like injured myself with a slow crash as well, but like, I like looking at the crash, it did. I think it was a really, really safe one. Like, he already like realized that he was gonna fall and like, kind of saved himself perfectly. He had to chase back a bit, but the front group didn't even ride hard, so it was easy to come back on the lower slopes of the full Europa climb before the like main section, which is the, let's say, 6.7 kilometers, the final 6.7 kilometers. Pogačar was already easily back by that point of the climb, and it was of course UAE pacing as expected. Mikkel Björk was doing was the first who paced on the climb, and it was a pretty strong pull. Which was interesting is that Dom and Novak was actually behind him in the train, but Novak dropped that before Björk, so he didn't pull at all basically, and only Micah was left. Waited, like, there was then a shallow section, so Pogačar first talked with Mike, and then when it got steep, he did a short lead out, and Pogačar attacked, obviously, after around six minutes of the 17-minute climb. So, yeah, around 30% at the start of the climb, he drafted 33%.
Yeah, he attacked, like, after the first third of the climb. But yeah, like, it's weird that Dom and Novak, after his Liège, Bastogne-Liège performance, can do even a short pull on Santi de Roper. Yeah, because like the stage wasn't even that hard. Like, need to find the kilojoules, which Filippo Ganna spent. Yeah, he spent only 2,907 kilojoules for 3 hours,
yeah,
35 minutes at the low, let's say medium low intensity. So they weren't even that fatigued. So yeah, it's weird that only Micah, Björk, and maybe Langen performs in this Giro from the UAE guys.
Yeah, especially like Grosjean is really disappointing. Like, at least Novak was there. Like, Grosjean, I didn't see him at all, and he would be on paper maybe the second strongest climber on the from the domestiques behind Micah. Well, what you would think, but he's been absolutely nowhere so far in this Giro d'Italia. But as we said, Pogačar attacked. Actually, Ben O'Connor and Thomas and even Narváez followed for a short bit, but yeah, it didn't take long for all of them to drop. And Pogačar went solo basically till the finish. Bynum was first, O'Connor and Thomas, that group, which was, yeah, O'Connor paced the entire time from that group. I think Thomas said he didn't have anything like left to pace at that point. But Ben O'Connor kind of overcooked as well because he like cracked and lost over a minute, I think, or exactly 1 minute at the end. And then the group behind, which was like the main group with Uta Brooks and a few
Lipovic,
other guys.
Dani Martinez, Will
Yeah,
Fine,
but
Fortunato, Storer,
Rubio, yeah,
Rubio.
but that group was also like split in half at some point, so I don't know exactly who was where. But yeah, Sian paced that group basically the entire time and actually dropped all of them to get back to Thomas and O'Connor, but then they looked at each other for like a few seconds and the main group came back. So I think that was with around 3 kilometers to go, 3.5 kilometers to go. Maybe we had Pogačar at front with a group of around 10 to 15 riders, 30 seconds behind, around 30 seconds. And Lipovic then started pacing for Dani Martins because Lipovic already had fallen over the GC yesterday, obviously.
Yeah, he lost
And he
two and a
paced,
half
but
minutes.
yeah. And at that point, already like some big favorites, let's say, were dropped because Caruso was dropped and Tiberi, the two behind guys. Bardet was dropped again.
Yeah, Arensman also,
Yeah, Arensman
like
was dropped again.
yesterday.
But what also was actually kind of interesting that I think Martins nearly dropped like right when Micah was pacing already. So he kind of maybe did like Almeida pacing on this climb.
Yeah, regular pace because like Ben O'Connor even like was the only one who could follow Pogacar even for a second, and he finished only 13, so he completely blew up. Yeah, so
Yeah.
like it's pointless to follow that attack. Yeah, if
Yeah.
you don't have
For these guys at
yeah for
least, you
these
know, let's
guys,
say.
but
Yeah.
there may be a few guys, but even those guys might need very good legs. Okay, except Jonas
Yeah.
Vingegaard. He can maybe on average they also follow. But as we saw in the last Tour de France, he also got dropped by Pogacar on a few
A few
stages.
times, yeah, but
Yeah, so
Pogacar was probably in a bit better shape back then.
yeah.
Yeah, so basically Lipovic paced till the finish, like he did all the work with Sian Uytebroeks in the second wheel. He also took a bit of wind because he was not staying exactly behind the entire time. But yeah, they actually closed a bit on Pogacar in the, like, let's say last kilometer, especially Pogacar was, he looked a bit cooked at the end, like
Yeah,
he
it was
didn't look
also
that fresh
flatter
anymore.
probably there. Yeah. He lost
Yeah, and
like 5 seconds, I think.
there was a bit flare apart in the last kilometer as well. Yeah, and Daniel Martinez then managed to win the sprint from the second group, 27 seconds behind Pogacar. Thomas Fortunato actually, and Lipovic also was 27 seconds and 30 seconds lost a bit in the sprint with Stora, Uytebroeks, and Rubio, and the rest already lost a bit more time, let's say.
Yeah.
Juan Pe López and Hirt were also kind of close, but then next row is Lutsenko, O'Connor, and Chavez at 1 minute already. So that obviously leaves Pogacar with 45 seconds ahead in the GC, ahead of Thomas and Martinez, and 54 ahead of Uytebroeks and Rubio. So, yeah, decent gap already after two stages, let's say.
Yeah, also despite the big tailwind, okay, maybe it wasn't that big, but Pogacar wasn't even close to breaking Pantani's record. Yeah, people were discussing yesterday if he can do it. And yeah, he hadn't, yeah, those legs. Maybe it will appear later in the Grand Tour because the next mountain stage is on the next Saturday on Prati di Dio. So you actually don't need to be at that like great shape already from the first. In the first stages, because yeah, in Giro d'Italia usually everything happens in the third week. Yeah, but yeah, can you say what Pogacar did on the Europa climb?
Yeah, I also expect the kind of Pogacar to at least be a bit closer to the Pantani record because if you look at his performances from the last Tour de France and the performances from his Catalunya, yeah, if he performed at that level again, he would have been really close or at least closer to the Pantani record because it was not the most mutant Pantani record, let's say.
Yeah, he
But
lost
like,
27 seconds. Yeah, to Pantani record Pogacar on a short
yeah,
climb. Kind
he was actually like closer to like way closer to Dumoulin from 2017 than to Pantani.
Yeah, Dumoulin was 6 seconds only slower, but he had a headwind and he produced even like a little bit more watts than Pogacar. Yeah, despite the
Yeah,
slower time.
exactly. Yeah, but it was also like an easier stage, so maybe comparable performances overall. Anyways, Pogacar on this climb averaged 6.77 watts per kilogram for 7 minutes 31 seconds. With Lipovic did the second most watts with 6.51 behind, and the Thomas 6.45, and others were also in that range in that group. So yeah, in terms of the watts per kilogram, it was not one of Pogacar's best performances. Even let's say lo qu quite a bit lower than Catalunya last year and. Way lower than the Tour de France last year, Puy-de-Dôme or Cotterets. It's a way higher level performance that he did there. But obviously, he doesn't really have to worry about it because he still is by far the strongest here at the moment. But comparing it to like his Tour de France last year, it's probably like a similar level of performance to Mario Blanc when he actually got dropped by Jonas by quite a bit, like 45 seconds or 42 seconds at the top of the climb it was back then, I think. And I think if Bjorn's Vingegaard would have been here, it might have been the same because this was, as I said, not the greatest performance from Pogacar.
Yeah, also there may be a conspiracy theory. Pogacar isn't taking the Giro like seriously, and he didn't arrive at the best shape and isn't even like trying to peak for this Giro, maybe. Yeah, because he knows everyone is shit here.
I mean, yeah, I understand it, and I think there's some truth to that for sure. That he's like maybe seeing the Giro as not the biggest goal, and like not, his training is more focused on the Tour de France. But still, like, it doesn't make any sense that he would be performing at a lower level here than at Catalunya.
Yeah, but
Like, that
again,
just
he
doesn't add
also
up
like
somewhere.
crashed before the climb, which like okay, it didn't seem that hard, but it's still like if you crash on a bike, then you like he needed like 3 minutes to catch to the group and spend more energy. Like it's not nice. Yeah, maybe we'll see what he will do on Primitivo. Maybe yeah, that will be a better, let's say, there'll be a better performance than
The
today.
test.
Hopefully, yeah.
But yeah, the battle for the podium is also heating up. Like at the moment, Thomas,
Yeah,
Dani
looking
Martinez,
good.
and Uiturbrooks, I guess, in the best position. Yeah,
Also,
Rubio is also
Rubio,
there, but like, yeah, I don't trust
Fortunato,
him.
Juan Pedro
Yeah, I
Lopez,
don't really
yeah,
trust him.
Tour of the Alps guy.
Yeah, but I don't really trust those. Like, I haven't seen those guys
Yeah.
perform over 3 weeks ever. Like, it's gonna be a weird top 10 or top 5 even, maybe.
Yeah, like some guys like Michael Storer might even like pull off a GC performance finally. Or yeah, Juan
Yeah,
Pedro
it's
Lopez
possible.
maybe. Like this Giro, yeah, really so fucking weird. Because
Yeah,
UAE team
looking at
also,
the
yeah, UAE
yeah.
also isn't that strong, and they might like give like some breakaways insane time. Yeah.
It would be funny if like some rider gets into the pink jersey with a big gap and Pogacar has to chase him.
Yeah,
But yeah,
like.
looking at the betting odds, like Pogacar is now 1.11 to win GC, and the second favorite is Thomas still at 8. Then Dani Martinez at 21, Uiturbrooks at 26, Ben O'Connor at 51. I think it's fair because he kind of overcooked. I think he was stronger than the result for sure today. And then sixth favorite is actually Jan Hurt at 81.
Okay. Well,
Jan
yeah.
Hurt, bro. That's crazy.
Yeah. Like actually
Like, he was okay today, but still, that's crazy.
I wouldn't be surprised if Florian Lipovic finishes in like in on podium in this Giro. Like okay, like he's
Yeah,
like
I
three
agree,
minutes
actually.
behind, but oh man, like in the third week, like some guys might just lose like insane time or crash because like Geraint Thomas, Dani Martinez, they are not the best bike handlers. Okay,
Yeah,
see
and Dani
Kian,
Martinez also is very inconsistent, let's say.
yeah.
Yeah, I agree with about Lipovic, although like I'm not sure about him completely because obviously like yesterday he was completely shit, today he was really strong, so I don't know if he's like gonna be super consistent because also this is his first Grand Tour obviously. Maybe he's gonna be more like good on some days and not so good on the others.
Yeah, also interesting is that Nairo Quintana lost 5 minutes and 21 seconds today, so he's officially like completely washed, finished in the same group as Alessandro Tonelli, lost even to Mattia Baez, who was 1 minute and 5 seconds faster, even like Henok Mulubrahan, yeah, finished 19th. Yeah, lost only 80 seconds to Pogacar. Like imagine like if Henok had these legs on that Campo Imperatore breakaway, yeah, like he would
Yeah,
cook yeah
that would have been
the
crazy.
Baez, Davide and Simona Petilli and Karel Vácek, yeah, he would cook those
Yeah.
guys, but
But actually, like, you have to say, like, Astana actually performed kind of well today, not gonna lie. Like, looking at the results, you got Fortunato 4th,
Yeah, like holy
Lutsenko
shit.
12th, then Mulubrahan 19th, also, like, good, and Scaroni was in the break. So, like, this is actually a good performance from Astana. We could maybe see, like, a stage win from them. I don't really expect Fortunato to stay in the GC for that long. But maybe he will surprise me as well. You never know.
Yeah, because like there'll be a time trial already on the stage 7, which will create finally a big time gaps in the GC because it's 40 kilometer long. Okay, there's a climb at the end, but the gaps will be massive probably in that time trial. Yeah, guys like Rubio, Fortunato might lose multiple minutes to even like Thomas. Yeah, or Kian Uttebroeks
Yeah,
even
even
might
see him.
lose. Yeah.
Yeah. Like, what do you think? What would you say after those two stages? Who do you got on the podium for the Giro?
Probably Pogacar if he doesn't crash too often,
Yeah,
or
okay.
maybe then okay, let's say Kian will be second. Thomas will crash out, and Dani Martinez at some point, and third will be Filipowicz. Yeah.
Okay. I think I'll stay with what I had before the race, which is Pogacar, Thomas, and Sian, or
Yeah.
Kian Uddebrugs.
Yeah, I think it's
Added before
Kian.
the race,
Yeah.
it's still looking good. But yeah, you never know. I also think Lipovic is gonna be dangerous, and
Yeah, we
O'Connor
can.
as well. Like he's lost a bit of time, but he can TT a bit. Like he might gain easy time on Uddebrugs in the time trials.
Yeah, true. Yeah, also we might try to live stream at some point. Yeah, we tested it, but I need to be in Riga, not at my parents' house, now in other city where the internet connection is shit. Yeah, so yeah, also that's the possibility at least. Yeah.
Yeah, and tomorrow we should have the Demi Vollering Vuelta big
Yeah, three
breakdown podcast, I
stages.
guess. Yeah, three stages, three climbing performances is gonna be tomorrow probably.
I also need to create the watts per kilo trend lines for women's cycling. Yeah, like we discussed, and I think yeah,
Yeah.
eighth stake or the highest all-time level should be like maybe 6 watts per kilo for 20 minutes. Yeah, should be around
Yeah, but
that.
that's really high. Like
Yeah,
six for 20 is crazy high, bro. It might
it's
have to
like
be lower for
eight
women's.
stake level.
Yeah, but
It must
like
be super
Vollering
hard.
is probably like,
The greatest,
yeah, but if
maybe.
like nobody, but if nobody ever will reach
Yeah,
it,
it must be hard.
that's
Because like someone like Loperini in 90s, yeah, the small
yeah.
Italian climber,
Yeah,
like
you never know what they did because there's absolutely zero footage. Like she maybe like maybe she pushed like 6.5 watts per kilogram, but we just don't know. Probably she didn't, but you know, like you never like she might have also been like shit compared to Vollering. We don't know. We don't know it.
yeah,
It could be anything really.
there was
Like there's not even
also
anything.
this
There's no
American
times, nothing.
climber, Mara Abbott, I think she won 2 times Giro in
I think it's
2010 and
she.
2013. And some guys
Oh
said
yeah.
that she might have pushed some big watts. Yeah,
Yeah,
there.
because I also saw the on do you know the guy from Anton Weyer, the guy who
Yeah,
calculates for him?
yeah, yeah, yeah.
He has like a big spreadsheet with I think, or like a big graph with women's cycling performances. I don't have like my database on women's is definitely smaller than his.
Yeah.
Like I haven't looked at there in a while, but like I think there was something from Mara Abbott and also from the British climber like Pooley or
Yeah,
like
Pooley. Yeah, she was on GCN host.
Emma Pooley. Yeah,
Yeah, Emma
she also
Pooley.
had like some good performances, I think. Yeah, but I think Vollering's one is probably better compared to those two at least.
Yeah, at least. In the modern era, she is the best climber of all time. Like even after
Yeah.
this vault, probably better than Annemiek van Vleuten. Yeah, based
Yeah,
on
probably.
the volume, even yeah, on the great
Yeah, but
performances.
I mean, in terms of volume, obviously Van Vleuten is still ahead, but like Vollering's catching up obviously
Yeah.
because there are more climbs nowadays, and she's like her peak is higher, let's say,
Yeah.
if you look at Tourmalet, which is just a crazy performance.